Following podcast is brought to you by ComicMonsters.com, part of the Horror News Network. We warn you, be afraid, be very afraid.
Welcome, everybody, to our third podcast here on ComicMonsters.com. This is Decapitated Dan.
And this is Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
And this is David.
So, guys, what's been going on these past 2 weeks? What's been happening in the comic world?
Well, the big thing, I think, has been the X-Men Vampires crossover, which has been, there was the death of Dracula and then the X-Men number one that came out. I read both and I thought the death of Dracula, I was hoping it would be better having two maybe big clans of vampires going at it. It just seemed kind of like how that ended. It was just kind of like one rogue vampire hero going against the other clan. What's your guys' thoughts on that? Did you guys both get a chance to read it?
I didn't get a chance to read it, but I was reading some reviews about it online, and I actually heard that the death of Dracula was pretty decent in comparison to X-Men 1, the vampire crossover. I heard that, you know, I was reading about it, and it pretty much happened the way I thought, that, you know, in the X-Men, they brought in vampires just to die, and it's kind of why I held off on buying that issue, because I was like, I'm not 100% sure it's going to be like one of those fair fights, and from what I hear, it was just, they came in, and they died. From here, Pixie manages to kill some, if I understood that correctly. I don't know, I just, it kind of played out the way I thought it was going to, and it's kind of disappointing to me, anyway.
I liked, I didn't know what to expect going into the death of Dracula. I honestly thought it was going to be something that led into, you know, this whole event, and I wasn't looking forward to it. But when I read it, and I'm sure quite a few people who are listening to this read the review on it, I loved it. I loved the whole concept of it. These are characters that, you know, are new to me personally. I didn't know there were so many clans. I guess, you know, that's because I'd never read the Blade books or anything like that. But I was really in love with just the whole idea. It was like, it was so quick. It was, we're getting together, motherfucker's dead, and now we're, you know, we're taking over. But I do kind of agree with Rob that it was kind of like the one brother just kind of sat there and was like, well, I guess I'll just let him take over. I don't really want to do anything about it. I mean, that was the disappointing part to it, but I thought that the whole concept of it and the whole, I want to see it played out as a mini series rather than this whole branching out crap that's just going to do whatever it does, and then we're just going to be left with everybody retreating back into the darkness or something like that. But
yeah.
I really, really like Death of Dracula, and I'd rather see it self-contained within itself and played out, because, I mean, it's real interesting. It's like, you know, you do have the one brother who kind of shied away towards the end, but, you know, well, maybe he's going to go underground, and he's going to, you know, start building something up to go after the brother and all these other clans. But, yeah, I mean, leading into the X-Men book, I'm sure most people have read that by now, too, and I said I wasn't going to formally review it, but, I mean, a lot of that plays into my self-hatred for what they've done to the X-Men.
Okay, well, you know, my thoughts on X-Men number one was that the book was pretty good. All in all, there were two vampires, I believe, that died in that. The vampire with the terrorist attack in the beginning, and the vampire that Wolverine killed towards the end of the book when they went into the room. The other people that the X-Men had to face in that were familiars. Most of you that watched the Blade movie are pretty understanding of what familiars are. They are basically vampires' lackeys, humans that are hoping to be turned into vampires. And there was a few of the familiars, you know, guarding the room where the female vampire was sleeping. And, you know, Wolverine got in there and ended up killing her, and he took her head off, which I thought was a pretty good kill. I don't see anything wrong with, you know, Wolverine taking out as many vampires as Blade can, just maybe with less efficiency. But all in all, I thought the issue was good, and, you know, I look forward to seeing what the rest of the series brings. I just hope it's not what you guys think may happen, where the vampires run back into darkness and hide. I really hope that's not it. But, you know, let's hope this this redefines vampires in the Marvel Universe as a force to be reckoned with.
You know, the question that comes to mind is if you guys have seen the little preview image for number two, and it's like, they have the map, and there's, like, all these vampires, and all the main 10 X-Men are standing there like, oh, what are we going to do? To me, it's like, you're outnumbered. This is why I don't like it branching out. To me, it makes no sense to do this. I understand you could bring Blade in. You could bring back some of that 90s stuff, you know, with the, there was that whole, they had that Dark Line, the Darkhold stuff, I think it was called.
Midnight Suns?
Yeah, there was the Midnight Suns, there was the Spirits of Vengeance, you know.
Yeah, there was, yep, the Darkhold, the, you know, Ghost Rider, all that.
You can bring in Bloodstone, bring her in.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, there's...
Keep it monster related. Doing this crossover, I don't get it. I don't care for it. I'll read them just to see where it goes, but, you know, I don't care.
Yeah, I think
in a group, you know, honestly, a group of that many X-Men, if there were that many vampires, pretty much wouldn't stand a chance.
Right.
You know, it, so we'll see.
I think as far as it being in the universe, like, you know, like I said, I haven't read it, but if there's so many vampires, I'm not really sure why it's restricted to the X-Men book. If you know if what I'm trying to get at, like, every other thing in the Marvel Universe has been like a big event kind of thing, like a Siege and Secret Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of do think that since they are keeping it just with the X-Men, that we're going to get a few issues, and then it'll be almost like just a vampire arc, and then we're never going to see vampires again.
Right.
And I think that's kind of a little disappointing. Like, I don't see the point of just bringing them in, because, yeah, the X-Men are outnumbered, but you know they're going to win. Like, one person may, like, I don't know, die or, you know, get bitten or something, but overall, it's the X-Men are just going to win. And
right.
It's just, I don't know, it's kind of disappointing.
So, any other things you guys want to talk about real quick that might have happened in the past 2 weeks, book you want to bring up? Or
I think that's pretty much the main event that was going on in the last 2 weeks. We have a lot of topics to discuss for our slasher fans today.
All right.
So we might as well jump right in there.
All right, so let's start off with, what is a slasher comic? Anybody?
I would
slasher
say...
Slasher comic.
Yeah.
Yeah. A slasher comic. Pretty much, usually violent. Usually some guy going around killing other people for some reason.
Right. Much like the slasher films of the 80s.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we got our nice little start. It was all the movies kind of branching over into the comics.
Right. That's right. I mean, in slasher, you know... Nowadays, you know, there's the Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street, Halloween. So all our favorite slasher movies are out there in one form or another as comic books. And when you're talking about comic book slashers, slasher comics, you have to start with Hack Slash, which has pretty much taken the comic world by storm. It's written by Tim Seeley. And it follows Cassie Hack and her partner Vlad, who, for those of you who may not have ever checked that out, looks kind of like Jason Voorhees in a way. And what they do is these are the two people that actually go after and kill slashers. So these are actually slasher hunters. And if you love 80s horror slasher flicks like Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, you'll love this book. I mean, it's it stays true with the humor and gore of those films, and it's just a great book in my opinion. What's your guys' thoughts on Hack Slash? If you guys been following it?
Yeah, I'm new to Hack Slash. I actually just started picking it up when it left Devil's Due and went over to Image.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a book I always kind of wanted to read, but there was like a lot of them. I have no idea where to start. So when it came over to Image, I picked it up, and I honestly didn't think I'd like it as much as I did. But you know, I read that first issue, my first Maniac, and I loved it. It was really, really good. She has like a nice little interesting backstory with her mom who won't stay dead. You know, she's traveling to these different cities, basically slashing slashers. I think it's just a pretty cool concept. And, you know, the first issue I thought started off pretty well. And then you sent me that the second issue. And I thought that was a really, really strong issue. I kind of like how Cassie can, you know, the big thing with Cassie, and I think this is what makes her a really good slasher, is she kind of, I guess, blends herself in with the people around her. You know, the second issue, the big thing was her going to a new school and trying to fit in, but not necessarily because she can have friends, but so, you know, she'll seem normal and like she's supposed to be there, when really she's just there to, you know, go find people and kill them. And I think, like, just that whole concept, that whole, I guess, ability to mask herself, really, really stands out in the book.
Right, right. She definitely blends in. And kind of sets up the slashers. Basically, she'll go, and then the slashers will eventually find her, which is pretty cool. You know, Hack Slash, for those of you, you know, that haven't read it before, they've already had some pretty good crossovers. You know, they've crossed over with everyone's favorite doll, Chucky, and that was a pretty awesome set of issues they had. It was actually a one-shot, I think, thinking back on it right now. But it was a great issue to see Chucky going at it with Cassie and Vlad. They've also crossed over with Herbert West of Reanimator fame, who was tied to Cassie's father, which is also a pretty good issue. And they've actually crossed over with one other known comic book slasher, which was Bump, which I think we'll touch on later in the podcast. So Hack Slash really has... you know, crossed over into other realms. There's always hopes of, you know, Hack Slash meeting up with, you know, Jason Voorhees or Freddy. So we'd love to see, I'd personally love to see that. What about you, Dan? Have you ever checked Hack Slash out?
I remember about the time I was getting back into comics, I started noticing some of these covers and stuff like that. So it was before Devil's Due started their ongoing, back when they were doing the one shots and the mini trades and stuff like that, and it was just something I always try to get into, but I can't. I always just find myself bored with it. I probably went through the first, gosh, I want to say 5 issues once it started going as an ongoing at Devil's Due, and I don't find the characters interesting. I don't find the concept interesting to me. I really don't know what it is. It's to me, it's kind of like if I try to pick up a DC book, I can read the first 2 pages and then I'm just like wondering what else I can do with my day. It's just, and I have read the first 2 of the Image start for this miniseries to give us the backstory, and I'm still finding the same thing. I try so hard to get on this series, but I can't do it. And I don't, you know, and for how popular it is, I give props to Seeley. I give props to everyone involved with this book. My buddy Brian Baugh drew some issues, and I picked those up just because he did them. But
right.
I really don't recall myself actually sitting down and being able to read them. It's not something I can say that I hate, because I can't make it through them. So it's
now,
not
are you
me.
A- Are you a fan of horror movies, though? Like slasher movies?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, Jason's probably my all-time favorite, but it is a book that I personally, it's kind of like The Walking Dead. So many people love it, and it's just something that I just can't gain interest in. And whenever, like, the last one, other than this new series that I read, was the, towards the end there, that superhero arc. I read the first.
Oh, right.
And that, to me, that was just like, well, that's enough. So I understand the importance to the genre, and being who I am and what I want to cover in terms of things, I really want to be able to cover it, but I really find that if I do read a full issue, I'm not impressed with it. I'm not interested in what's going on. To me, I don't find any part of it to just really grab my attention. And that's it's not a knock on anybody involved with it. It's just me personally. I just, you know, it's kind of like me trying to read, like I said, DC. I have no interest in Superman. I'm not going to read a Superman book. If you give me a Superman book, I can look at it and I can just go, what's next?
Yeah, well, I guess that goes back. Everybody has like different tastes in their horror. Hackslash also has something potentially big on the horizon with, of course, a movie. That's the, I guess, ultimate goal of comics, to be made into a movie. So it's still going, from what I'm told. And I remember last July, I think it was, Frederick Bond is going to replace Todd Lincoln, I guess, is directing the thing. So I guess it's going to be written by Steven Susko. So it should, hopefully Hackslash will get out there a little more to the masses. The jump to Image was good for the book, simply because, you know, Image being a bigger publisher, more people's eyes may be on it. And for those of you that don't know, there was actually a play on stage of Hackslash. I unfortunately never got a chance to really check that out, but it's something I would love to see.
It's actually kind of awesome.
Yeah, Hackslash is quite the book. So I definitely recommend it to anyone out there, you know. And I just think it's good, and it stays solid. And now it's kind of getting the reboot Image, and I think that's kind of good, where it could start fresh from where it was, and you know, get more people to check it out. So
I'm counting. You guys, there's about 12 different. Oh, there was all the one shots, and then the series. I'm counting about 12 different versions of it before. And gosh, I guess that's more like, you know, 9 of them were even before the ongoing started. So
right,
there's plenty out there to check out.
Yeah, and I personally thought it's pretty easy to just, you know, pick up and read. I actually personally liked the characters. I thought it was pretty inviting, but I mean, I guess, you know, like Rob said, it kind of goes back to everyone's taste. I mean, it's one of those comics I do recommend to my friends now after just reading the first two of the new series with Image. I really enjoyed it.
That's cool. And I think, unless you guys have anything else to say about Hackslash, during the Hackslash little segment there, I mentioned Bump. Do you guys just want to segue into that?
I don't have
sure.
With that. I didn't. I've only read the first issue of Bump. It's the only one I've ever been able to find.
Yeah, I'm not 100% familiar with them. I'm interested to hear what you have to say.
Right. Well, what Bump is, it's kind of a mix between like a slasher comic and almost like a supernatural comic. It follows this serial killer, Edgar Dill, and what Edgar Dill does, he's kind of, if you guys haven't seen Edgar Dill before, think sort of like Leatherface a little bit. That's kind of, I guess you could kind of reminds me of a little bit. And what it's created by Mark Kidwell, who's a well-known, you know, been doing his whole life doing writing and art for horror comics, it seems. And what Edgar Dill does, he basically kills, you know, he's a slasher, so he kills people, and what happens is they become these weird kind of tree spirity. The creatures are just so interesting looking and bumped. So it's not only is it a slasher comic, but there's like a big supernatural kind of spin on it. They have what's called tree huggers, and those are the things that, you know, when you take on Edgar Gill, these tree huggers are like these spirits that are, you know, running around like attacking people as well. And it's a really cool book. You know, there hasn't been much out of it lately, but I do know that Mark Kidwell is writing a novel on this, and hopefully you know, with the connections he has, this could eventually be launched into a movie of some kind, which would be fantastic. But it's a really good, it's hard to find, you know, horror comic, and if you guys could get it, it's definitely recommended without a doubt.
It was put out by Fangoria when they had their little comic line, from what I see.
Right. That's why it was so hard to find. It wasn't like big distribution. I know it made it into I believe it was the Barnes and Nobles and stuff like that. So other than that, it's definitely a good read. It's fun. It's definitely good to see, you know, it get the exposure. It crossed over with Hack Slash, which was great. And I'm just hoping to see more of that in the future. I'm sure Mark's going to deliver on that.
Well, let's move over into the big boys of the genre, other than Hack Slash, and let's talk about the movies that have crossed over. And I'll give you guys a quick count, because I've counted all these up. We've got 13 titles for Jason alone.
Wow.
Over from Avatar, Wildstorm, and Tops. Freddy has 7 titles all by himself. Michael Myers has 7. And Texas Chainsaw, or Leatherface, has 10. Chucky has 6. Reanimator has 6. And I guess that's all I really looked up were those. I mean, to me, the big one's Jason. Anything Jason, I will try to pick up. I believe the first Jason line was the translation of Jason Goes to Hell from Tops,
mm-hmm,
back in the day, which, I mean, that's kind of how the slashers started to move over. It really was just the adaptations of the movies. Child's Play, all the first three were adapted by, I believe, Innovation did them. You know, and to me, that, to me, this is the most marketable, next to, like you said, just the title of Hack Slash. And this is basically what envelops our, you know, our slasher genre, is kind of just the movie tie-ins, other than a few select titles from what I've been able to see.
Right. And you know, the moving these slasher characters over from the movies into the comics definitely gives the publisher a wider audience to promote the book to. And, you know, quite honestly, I mean, I think they've stayed pretty true to the films, you know, of each of the respective films. I mean, my personal favorite is Halloween, but let's start, you know, as you said, with Friday the 13th. I mean, it's always been a real scary, gritty horror movie. I remember when I was a kid, I'd be scared to go to sleep after watching Friday the 13th. I mean, it was just awesome. And, you know, you get the feeling in the comics, you know, there's a lot of limbs flying around, and there's blood all over, and I think it stays pretty true to the character. What's your guys' thoughts on that?
You know, I kind of, you know, with Jason, he's a big popular one. I do like him. I just personally find it awkward when, like, unless, you know, Jason has his own book, you know, with all these crossovers, I think it's a little awkward to open up a comic that I'm expecting to see, like, you know, Cassian, and then standing next to her is, you know, Jason or Freddy or something like that. not to derail, I know we're talking about Friday the 13th, but I mean, it even goes as far as, you know, Chucky. I remember opening up a comic and seeing Chucky in there, and I didn't know what to do. I'm just not a huge fan of these crossovers. I think I think comics like, you know, with Freddy and Jason and whatnot, if they had their own, if they had their own book, you know, they had their own series, ongoing, limited, I think that's fine. I think bringing these movie characters into the comic realm, I think that, you know, that is a pretty good, you know, medium of distribution to other people who might, you know, enjoy it. And it would give us more slashers, but I think that they kind of deserve their own book.
Right.
No, I agree with that 100%. Rob, I think you were a fan of the Freddy Jason Ash.
Yeah, I definitely was a fan. I like the first series better than the second one. But to me, that was, you know, how that comic started, it was going to be a movie. And things kind of, you know, I think things kind of fell through with it, or, you know, how negotiations, whatever. So what they did is they turned what was going to be a movie into a comic. And I know people have different opinions on it, but I thought it played out really well. I liked how, you know, the interaction between Freddy and Jason, I thought was classic. You know, it was, Freddy was kind of controlling Jason's mom there for a while. And I think it was in that first issue, or that first series, that Freddy was actually in bed with Jason's mom, which is pretty hilarious. So that definitely kept, you know, the humor of the Nightmare on Elm Street series going. But I thought it was good. And then Ash is the hero, you know, the clumsy hero comes in, and they battle it out. So I thought it was good, and that definitely led into, you know, a second series of that. But, you know, as we're talking about Jason, I think that the comics that have come out have been fairly true to the character, and you know, some, of course, like all series are better than others, but I think you know, if you're definitely a fan of Friday the 13th, you know, you want to pick up a comic or two and just give it a try, because I think they've been pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I've heard that they are good and whatnot. And you know, speaking of Jason, I saw this online. I know Dan commented on this. I don't know if this is actually happening or not, but apparently there's some Jason, Cassie Hack, Dexter comic someone was thinking of making, or there's one big crossover, and there's all three of these slashers. Things like that kind of thing is just kind of awkward to me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it makes no sense.
Sometimes with these crossovers, it just doesn't. To me, it's really hard for me to believe that they got together.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
I can't. It's just something in my head that just won't let me say, oh yeah, this makes perfect sense. You know, Cassie would definitely team up with Jason. It just doesn't work out for me. And that's just a personal thing. That's just me. And that's why I would really push to have them have their own comic. And especially, I mean, if this Dexter, Cassie, Jason thing, that one makes absolutely no sense.
I think it was just a picture.
It was just a picture?
Yeah,
okay. All right. Because I was seeing on forums, I didn't know if it was like a rumor, like, oh yeah, they're making this. I'm like,
no.
Really?
No. Don't do it. But the problem is people will buy it. People
yeah, I mean, I love Dexter, it. But I wouldn't be able to do that. but yeah, I mean, a lot of these characters, they just deserve their own comic. I don't think that they should. I mean, they'd sell their own book. They don't need to be put in with someone a different comic.
Right.
I mean, I guarantee you, more people have heard of Friday the 13th than Hack Slash, and just because, you know, it's a movie. I mean, if you put it in its own book, it'll sell.
Yeah,
that's my two cents.
I mean, going back to the main four, you know, Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, and Myers. You know, I think the only one who didn't go to Avatar when they finally moved on past just the movie adaptation stuff was Michael Myers. I think he went to Devil's Due, didn't he?
Yep, he went to Devil's Due, and you know, the good thing about, I think the Halloween series are probably the most well-written comics, and Michael Myers probably is the, you know, if you were to think of those characters, maybe the toughest to write, because he's kind of like a psychological killer. You know, he's not just, He's not like the machine that Jason is, although he can be. But Halloween, I think, has a lot more, like, you know, psychological things playing into it. And the team, you know, the great thing about Halloween series is Stephen Hutchinson, the writer, has a huge, huge Halloween fan. He's a big Halloween fan, and he's helped, you know, with some videos that they produced, like the making of and taking a look back at Halloween. He's, you know, been involved in DVDs like that. So he's a huge fan, and he's teamed up with Jeff Zorno, longtime, you know, horror artist, to really produce some good stories and series with Halloween. And if you're a fan of anything Michael Myers on Halloween, you definitely want to check these out, because these stay very true to the series. And you know, even they recently had you know, a Laurie Strode in there, and there's you know, everybody that you remember from the movies you'll see in here, and it's just great. I mean, it's really good how they're written. I mean, that's personally been my favorite slasher books. The Halloweens are the ones I most look forward to.
I learned, like I said, I'm the Jason guy. So I mean, and one thing I wanted to touch on with the Avatar thing is, if you're reading Crossed, you know how bloody Avatar can get, and that was to me, that was the fun thing about Jason. You know, even Freddy going to the Avatar. To me, it's kind of like, you know, if you want the Jason story, you're gonna get it kinda with the Avatar versions, but you're basically buying it for the blood. I mean, that's kinda how they were, but the good Friday the 13th was when Wildstorm got their hands on him. I thought that 6-issue miniseries was really decent, and then they had two shots, and I think one shot, and the funny one to me was the summer camp one, because there was a kid at the camp who was deformed, and Jason took pity on the kid. And it was amazing, because, I mean, anytime you see Jason and he's, like, gonna take pity on something, he still kills it no matter what. But he actually took pity on that kid, and I don't recall it him actually killing him, but I was really happy when New Line signed on with Wildstorm and we started getting these. I know that the Freddy stuff didn't really sell as well, and I don't believe that the Texas Chainsaw stuff sold good. But I know the Jason stuff always does pretty decent, and then they at least gave us more versions of those than they did the others. So I'd recommend, you know, if you got that bloodlust, then find the Avatar ones. There's a million and a half different covers for each one, so if you want to be nitpicky, you can try to get all of those, like me. But I say...
And spend a lot of money in the process.
That's
Don't
right.
forget about that.
That's right. That's where my 50-cent boxes come in handy. But no, for my money, I say the Jason stuff is the stuff to check out. For people who don't know, who are Freddy fans, Freddy started as actually a Marvel magazine. There was the adaptation was in a Marvel magazine that they
right.
they put out. Kind of they had an Elvira one shot too.
I love Elvira.
Who doesn't love Elvira?
I
seen this
picture
with
to prove
bastard.
It. Yeah, so you know, Freddy Krueger, his that Marvel magazine that came out, I actually was lucky enough to get that, I think, on eBay a few years back. And that's pretty cool. It's funny to see that him, you know, Robert Englund and Freddy Krueger there to be in a Marvel magazine where it gets its start. But it's pretty interesting. It's a tough one to get. And from what I could tell you about the Nightmare on Elm Street comics, they keep the same feel of the movies. They keep, like, the not only is it there, you know, the blood and the gore, but it does keep the comedy as well with that with Freddy Krueger. So those are really cool as well. I mean, I'm you know, admittedly not the biggest Freddy Krueger fan. I have all the movies and everything, but he kind of probably ranks like third or fourth for me in favorite slashers. But you know, the comics are fun. They're definitely fun, all the things you could do in people's dreams, and I think it's really cool. What about you guys? Have you guys checked out any of the series?
I've seen one of the Freddy versus Jason movie. I do like Freddy's kind of almost like supernatural ability, I guess, to be in people's heads when they're dreaming. He is a really cool character to me, like really cool. I think that sometimes it's done a little too much for the comedy. Sometimes, sometimes I think it kind of misses what it's going for. Not to say it's bad or anything like that, but it's. Freddy's one of those cool characters. Maybe I just saw one of the bad ones, the Freddy versus Jason.
Yeah, you did see the bad one.
Yeah. I mean, I remember watching it, and it was on television. Like, all right, I'm going to watch this. And I was just like, all right. I mean, I guess that's okay. But the character himself, I always have this problem with kind of both Freddy and Jason. Like, I like both the characters. I personally like Freddy a little more than Jason, just because he can, like, you know, get in your dreams and whatnot. I usually have a problem with the content and what capacity they're used in, I guess, would be what I'm trying to say. Like, the stories to me tend to be some of them are good, some of them tend to be a little weak, and I think that they try for this funny aspect when sometimes I'm like, this should just be a slasher. It shouldn't be funny. Just, you know, let Freddy mess with people's heads and then kill them. Like, that's just what I want to see. But that's just, you know, my own personal thing. They're just really cool characters, and I get maybe I'm too picky with the movies. I haven't really read too much of them in comics, but I always find myself liking the characters, but then being a little let down by what's happening around them, I guess.
Right.
Well, let's move. Go ahead, Ron.
I was just saying, yeah, it's just really, you know, people love these slasher characters, and it's just sometimes it's hard to actually take, you know, what's going on. When a different writer takes over, it's just kind of, they have their own spin on the character. And from each series, you know, things could change. So it just really depends on, there's some good series out there, there's some bad series. You just kind of have to pick it up and see, you know, what writer you like best. Everyone just has their own kind of spin on the character, and they do what they think is best. But all in all, I think, you know, if slasher comics are pretty fun, you know, if written by a good writer. So
yeah, they got to be done right. I mean, campy's campy, and to me, that borders on the Freddy line. I'll read it if I want to laugh, but you know, I'm still waiting because of how open the genre really is. I really want that night character driven Dexter story.
Yeah,
right.
That's kind of what I'm waiting for.
Yeah, I think I'm with Dan on that one. A character driven one would be very good. Which I personally thought, you know, Hack Slash would be a good character driven one. But you know, that's just me. So I kind of feel I got my character driven book already. So
yeah,
kind of set happy.
All right, well, let's shy away from the movies. Some other ones to mention that are known as, how about Johnny the Homicidal Maniac?
Oh yeah, who could forget Johnny the Homicidal Maniac?
Or as we could put it, when Hot Topic started, the one thing everybody went in there to buy to be cool.
Yeah, Hot Topic's almost a plague with anything horror.
It's funny, yeah. You know, Johnny the Homicidal Maniac. That is a crazy book. Now, wasn't that Johann Vasquez? He was the guy that started that book, right?
Correct.
And that came out, Was it slave labor that was it? I'm trying to remember
I'm
back.
I'm looking it up
slave
right
labor
now. Someone, let's see. 1995, or, slave labor.
Wow, wow, that old, huh?
Yeah, that was during the goth phase, you know, when I was goth.
I'd like to see pictures of that.
Oh, I got pictures. You don't get to see them.
Post them on the forum.
I will. I will.
Johnny is definitely a serial killer. Now, isn't he? I'm trying to think back. It's been a while since I read that. I think he was kind of like he gets possessed to commit these murders. I know he's had some spinoffs. I think the latest one was I Feel Sick, but that was still a little while ago. I'm trying to
see. Now I got to look this up because it's been a while for me too. It says that there were two spinoffs. One was Squee.
Yep.
Oh, now I lost it. Let's see.
One of them says Squee and I Feel Sick.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Yep.
But no, yeah, it was something that I haven't read in a while either, and it was really, I don't want to say underground, because slave labor isn't underground now, but, you know, kind of back then it was. It was something that, you know, you wouldn't see sit next to a Friday the 13th book. You wouldn't see it sit next to a Spider-Man book. You know, it was over in the corner at the comic book shop.
Yeah.
Right.
So
right, that's when, you know, slave labor was, like, I think they were kind of just starting then, like an up-and-coming company, and so, of course, they weren't as big as they are now, although they're not, you know, enormous, but, you know, they were just up and coming, so it was kind of, they were lesser known then. It was pretty cool to see this character. I think he lived in, like, a crazy house that had, like, was able to torture people and corpses and all that kind of stuff, but it was definitely a fun book. I remember liking it, and this, you know, makes me want to go back and find those issues.
And from what I found out, number one is on its 25th printing.
Wow.
Insane.
So, obviously, the Hot Topic thing did help pretty good.
good marketing.
Jeez. Wow. Yeah, it was. I always remember it being a pretty cool book, and I like it. I just wish I had one around where I know it is in my house to pick it up and reread it today.
It is. That is something that, you know, I would say, you know, back then it might have been a little, you know, cliche to read or something like that. But if you can seriously find it, it is. It was a lot of fun. It's something that, you know, can often be overlooked in terms of, you know, kind of what was going on, like, 90s indie-wise with horror in general. And, you know, it was one of those books that kind of said, hey, you know, look what we're doing over here. And it had that fun tone to it. Anytime I look at it, all I think about is Invader Zim.
Yeah, that's exactly what I think.
Yeah, right.
But, all right, well, how about, recently we had Random Acts of Violence with Jimmy Palmiotti.
Right.
Did you guys check that out?
Right. That was I love the cover. That cover, you know, if I didn't even read, like, the synopsis of the book, I would have bought it just for the cover. You know, the book, it was an interesting take, I guess. I liked it. I mean, I wasn't, like, so over the top with it, but I thought it was a pretty good twist. I thought the twist at the end, it was pretty good. And I kind of liked the book. It was interesting to see these comic creators create a character, and then someone starts killing, like, the character they created. I thought that was pretty interesting.
And they had that great miscommunication on the ad, so basically the entire world started killing everybody just to,
right.
to get their famous kill published in the book. It was a slasher comic inside of a slasher comic. It was really funny. And I don't know if that Mark Wade story is true that was in it, but my God, if that was true, that's creepy. Do you remember that? Something about someone contacted Mark Wade to come show up at a comic store, and he thought that basically this guy worked for the comic book store, and he flew him in and everything, and he went, and the guy picked him up at the airport and ended up just driving around with him, and took him back to the airport, and he was kind of like, well, how come we didn't go to the comic book store or something like that? And it ended up being that this guy was, like, Mark Waid's biggest fan, and he tricked him into doing that.
Just want to hang out.
Yeah, and just, like, kidnapped him for the day. I mean, that was, if that's true, that's creepy. That's creepy.
If that's true, that's kind of an awesome story.
But no, I mean, it was different, because we really don't, other than the hack slash, we really don't see the slasher stuff, so it was fun to see another take in it. It is a genre that the zombies can repeat themselves and the vampires can repeat themselves, but this one borders more on that line that it can easily repeat itself. I mean, right. How many stories do we need with the serial killer? A serial killer, you know, and that's where it's kind of tough.
And, you know, some of them we get some different ones. I know this isn't a comic, but, like, you know, to me, Dexter, he's a different kind of slasher. So
right.
If we could get comics kind of in that vein where we're doing something a little different, I think it would be awesome. Like, I haven't seen, you know, except for Hack Slash, I haven't seen really a slasher comic really hit the shelves in a while. You know, there was Random Jack of Violence, and there was the one with Ash, but I don't see any of the nothing, you know, ongoing or whatnot. And I think
right.
that we should, and by I say we, I mean I guess the comic industry.
You, you're
really
you're the writer. Get to work.
Yeah, it's we have enough zombies, and now we have enough vampires. I think a good slasher would, you know, be nice. That would be awesome. You know, Freddy and Jason, that would be cool. But I mean, if we got something new, something fresh, I think, and if it was written well, I think it would really help it bring the genre back to the comic shops.
Right. I definitely think that's where Hack Slash excels. It has a lot. It's brought in a lot of non-comic fans into the genre. And I think that's why it's kind of as popular as it is, just because, you know, those slasher fans have embraced the comic, and that's kind of, like, what's brought it up, you know, to the level it's at.
Yeah.
So I think it was last week we kind of mentioned, maybe even the first week, we kind of mentioned Gauze, which was a one-shot,
yep.
And I really still don't think it's... I don't think that trade ever came out yet.
That's, you know... I mean, I don't even know the right answer to that. I mean, I remember getting the first issue a long time ago. Then I thought I remember getting it again. Maybe that was just a review thing I read, but it's put out by Arcana. And it was a really good book. I liked this Gauze a lot. When as soon as I saw it, I think it was just a preview. I was just intrigued by how... You know, the look of the character, the look of the character, what was going on in the book, and it was brutal. This serial killer whose face is wrapped in gauze, murders this girl and her parents, and the main character of the story, Elizabeth, has to, like, go back and go after this killer herself. Just the artwork, how the character is developed, it almost reminds me, like, a little like Saw, because you see, if I remember correctly, the girl tied up to a tree who's facing her, I want to say it's her dad who's tied up to the tree, and her dad's, like, getting his guts ripped out, and it's pretty good. It's a pretty brutal comic. And it's kind of an underground comic. I would definitely recommend checking it out.
Some places are saying it's for sale, but TFAW says that it's backordered. So I don't think it came out. I don't think the trade came out yet.
I've not seen anything about it. Not on shelves, anyway.
It's, you know, I remember, and I kind of thought it bordered on Jason's level.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I remember it being a lot of fun. Some other quick notes here was, I'm not going to say it was slasher, but it was more killer, serial killer, you know, maniac type. It was Scream Queen by Boom.
Yep.
There was a series by Shadowline, which was called Gut Wrencher, which was a high school reunion, but for some odd reason, all the adults got on a bus and then went to some camp, and one of the kids ended up being a serial killer, and we'll just picked them all off one at a time. It was pretty fun. Did you guys check either of those out?
No.
I did. I checked out Gut Wrencher. I think there was a bunch of guys, I think Keith Giffen and Niles co-wrote that with someone else. I remember, you know, like you said, being a reunion, and then all of a sudden, you know, this kid just starts killing everyone. I thought it was pretty good. It was, you know, it was like one of those weird sense of humor books, and it's kind of, you know, mixed with all the slasher movies like Halloween, Nightmare on Elm Street. I thought it was pretty cool because it was kind of done differently, and I thought it was a pretty good book.
So let's see. Oh, another one that borders on the more maniac side was Seven by Zinescope.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And that was, I have not actually sat down to read the whole thing. I went through, I got through two of the issues, and they weren't in order or nothing, but I thought it was different because instead of following the cops, were actually following John Doe.
Right.
It's like behind the scenes, and I thought that was pretty cool, and I really need to sit down and actually read that because that's one that actually kind of plays in on what's going on in their mind instead of what's going on and how to stop them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was awesome. I mean, and my favorite thing, I think, about the series, one of them was the covers, and those covers were awesome. I mean, I loved the gluttony one, you know, the big fat guy there and the teeth in his stomach. That was just great. I also remember I think it was the Pride one with the girl looking in the mirror. But those are really cool comics, and as you said, it was written from a different perspective than you would think. I really, you know, I like how they kind of, it was really cool. People want to check that out. It was definitely interesting when you open the pages as well. It's kind of different from what you would expect. I definitely like that book.
Yeah.
Have you read that one, Dave?
I've read a little bit of it. Really not a whole lot to form a real formal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little different. It was pretty cool. I did like the little bit that I did read of it. But again, that one was a little hard for me to find, to tell you the truth. Not even really sure where I read it. But yeah, I mean, I from what I read, I would tell people that it would be something that they should pick up and at least give it a chance. Was pretty cool.
How about Alan Moore's From Hell that was adapted into the movie? Because I saw a copy of it once and it was so expensive in the collected version, but I know that a lot of people consider that to be a great Jack the Ripper story.
Yeah, Alan Moore is he's really good. a lot of the stuff that he writes is just really, really good, and I'm kind of upset because like I've read some of it because it's like 1,000 pages long, and
exactly,
it's forever long. If you've read anything Alan Moore, he talks a lot, and this thing's easily like 500-600 pages, so it takes a while to get through. But you know, I was at a con and I actually saw the trade for $5.
No,
I was like, I have no cash on me. Let me get cash. And by the time I came back, they were all gone. There is like a box of like at least 15 of them, but
wow. When
it's $5, I mean, it's just going to go away almost immediately. But yeah, from what I read, I mean, it is a good Jack the Ripper story. Very, very psychological, which I think Alan Moore does very, very well. You know, he does it with, you know, V for Vendetta and The Watchmen, and it's no different in this one. I haven't seen the movie. I heard that the movie was vastly different than the comic, but like I said, I haven't seen it, so I don't know in what capacity. But it's one I need to finish reading. but it's really good so far. Really good.
Hmm. So how about
right? Yeah, that's definitely one of the most, you know, popular ones being out there that Alan Moore is the writer of, and you know, it's just always gotten solid reviews. It's kind of a tough book to find, and you know, the page count, definitely, you know, you have to spend a little while on it because it is kind of wordy. You know, I think it's 572 pages, and it's definitely a book you have to check out if you're a friend, if you're like a fan of Jack the Ripper, or if you're a friend of Jack the Ripper, you should definitely check it out. But yeah, that's my take on that.
Anybody looking for a copy, I can actually tell you that Haven has them in stock. And if you can't go through your comic shop to get them from Haven, contact me, because my comic guy, I made him get a Haven account just to give me stuff that we couldn't get through Diamond and stuff like that. So, and I can tell you they are $35.
Yeah, cool. So $5 was an awesome deal.
You missed out on that, son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Must have been like a box that fell off of a truck or something. Some guy took it and ran.
It had to be something. I don't know. It was ridiculous. I never carry cash, and I don't know. It was just one of those times where the universe was like, see, you should carry cash.
I really don't have too many more on my list here. One I wanted to touch base on, and Rob kind of disagrees with me a little on this, was just the first volume of Lock and Key, Welcome to Lovecraft. And I'm only going to say Slasher because of the way it started and the fact that up until basically the last issue when everything kind of came together and you learned about, you know, more about the keys and everything, you had one guy traveling across the country to go kill this family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I picked up the first trade of Lock and Key, Heroes Con, and I was reading it, and that is an intense comic, in my opinion. I'd say it's almost kind of slasher. I mean, you open up, a guy gets an axe to the back of the head.
Right, right.
It's a good one. I like it. I need to get the second one, but that one, that's an intense one. I like that one a lot, actually. It's pretty cool.
And the team on that book, you know, Lock and Key, can't really get better than that. You know, I mean, the guys that are on there are just incredible, you know, from the writer down, you know. So that's always a book, although it's not in one of my favorites. I know when I read it, it's going to be a solid, fun book.
Yeah.
You know, the team on that is just, it's really good. They're just all great guys. You know, Joe Hill. I think the art is by Gabe Rodriguez.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Photos, of course.
Who does the amazing color work on that book.
Right.
Amazing.
He's, in my opinion, probably the best in the industry. So.
But I won't. I don't want to go any further than that first volume, because if I get started on it, I can talk for an hour or longer.
Whole another podcast.
It is by far my favorite comic book that is out. I think, like Rob said, the depth and everything, but that's for another horror podcast because it doesn't fit into this genre. I just wanted to mention
right.
that first volume because it kind of had that slasher to it. And the
yeah.
other thing I just got in the mail, and Rob, you might have read these, are Family Bones by, let me turn around and get a name here, Sean Granger, I think.
Right. I've read one of them in without having it in front of me. I could tell you the guy that wrote that, he's related to some serial killer. I may have even interviewed him a while ago. I kind of forget. It's been a while. If you have the synopsis there.
I got it. Ray Copeland was the serial killer.
Right.
That he's related to in the books. And he just sent me the trades on these, and I haven't got a chance to check them out yet. But yeah, he's apparently these serial killers are his real relatives. And he's writing his own experiences and his family's experiences to share with the world. And I can't wait to check them out. But I just wanted to give a quick mention to those. And I know that the issues have been out for a while, and it's independent. I think you just got to go through his site to get them. But it looks good, and I can't wait to sit down and read it.
Right. Now the crazy freaking thing about that is the people that he's writing about, I guess, are his grandparents. if I remember correctly. Maybe his great grandparents. I'm just trying to remember what it was. But their thing was they used the clothes of their victims to make a quilt to keep warm. Now, that's fucked up.
That's creepy.
And it's like, these guys, they were like farmers, if I remember correctly. And, you know, they found the bodies on their farms and everything. So it's just definitely like, if you like real serial killer stuff, you got to check that out. You got to check it out. It's just pretty, it's pretty creepy.
Well, that runs down my full list of books I could think of. You guys got anything else that you can think of?
Well, what I want to do, I just want to touch on Bump one more time. You know, I think I kind of maybe explained it around the first time. You know, we talked about Edgar Dill, who's the serial killer. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Leatherface, and he has these things called tree huggers. What these are, Edgar Dill, he's kind of like a craftsman. So what he does is he makes these, like, they're basically like wooden mannequins. And what he does is he basically, when he kills people, he takes out the parts of women, being the vagina and other parts, and places them in these mannequins. And that kind of like, you know, he feels that it cleans the girls, the victims. And so what happens is these tree hugger creatures like kind of rise up and they follow Edgar. And these are like vicious creatures, almost, they're almost like possessed looking kind of Wolverine type creatures. And they follow Edgar Dill in a battle. So when you're taking on, you know, Edgar Dill in the Bump, you know, in the whole Bump thing, it's you're not only fighting like a crazy Leatherface type serial killer, you're fighting these tree hugger creatures with him. So it's definitely an interesting story that Mark Kidwell has carved out. You know, it's there's a lot of blood and gore, and I would love to see that made into a movie, and hopefully they're going that way. I mean, there's, you know, last I talked to Mark, he's working on a novel of it, and I promised him that would be the first book I would read that has no pictures in it. So I'm just hoping that it's not long.
It's a pretty big promise.
I'm hoping it's not long.
I hope it's like maybe 15 pages or something like that. But yeah, like honestly, if a book doesn't have pictures in it, I'm not getting through it. It's that. So, I wasn't that good.
At least you're honest. But I can't say I'm any different.
I can't either. Someone told me to read Joe Hill's book Thorns because of how much I love Horns, because of how much I like Lock and Key. And I was like, yeah, I'll check it out. I went onto the library website to put it on the hold list, and I saw there was an audio version.
That's awesome.
Of course, it comes in on 13 discs, so I'm just like, well, I'm not going to listen to this.
Holy crap, 13 discs, that's crazy.
How long is this thing?
Each disc was 2 hours.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah, so I was like, well, do I put it on the iTunes? No.
Wow.
So, oh, well, you know, speaking of iTunes, as if I don't bombard everybody with enough, you know, news that we did another podcast, if you're lazy, you can go to iTunes now, search Comic Monsters, and you can actually subscribe to the feed. And when we post the new podcast, it will automatically download the next time you open iTunes.
Nice.
So you actually have to subscribe to it, but you can do that if you don't just grab it off of one of the other links, or if you don't listen to it live streaming on the website. Other than that, since this was the Slasher Show, I'm going to leak it now. You had to listen to the whole damn thing. We are going to have a contest for this one. I'm going to come up with some questions on what we covered. Not anything too hard. The deal is you got to listen to the whole damn thing. If you made it this far, you got to go back and find out the answers. But we're going to give away a signed Hack Slash book by Tim Seeley. I have, I think it's number 10. or number 12 from the Devil's Due run. So, free cool. Tim Seeley book if you get to answer the questions right. To the first person, you got to be in America. I'm not sending it to Canada or overseas. Sorry, Brian. But
shipping costs.
That's right. I'm cheap.
Sounds good.
But yeah, I mean, you know, nothing else I want to touch base on. I think the genre of slasher comics needs to expand more. I think there's a lot of potential, like we talked about, with more character-driven stuff. Basically, we only have one book that's really ongoing covering this. Otherwise, it's just one-shots and miniseries. So I think anyone out there who's a writer and wants to find that genre that's not zombies that might get you into the industry, think about this.
Yeah, that would be great. It'd be fun to see more of this. I know, you know, Ash's series, Army of Darkness, is ongoing. I guess it could, you know, kind of be considered maybe in the slasher genre, you know, even though it's like zombies. But, you know, it'd be great to see more of it, definitely. I love slasher movies, and I love the comics, so I would love to have more to read.
Well, maybe soon we'll do a movie podcast, and we'll talk about some of the slasher movies or something, and stuff like that. But, yeah, I really don't have much else to say. How about you guys?
I'm pretty much done.
All right.
Yeah, I think it was a good topic today to cover, and hopefully everyone had fun listening to it.
We had some good discussion on the boards last time, so let's keep that up. Let's, you know, spread the word. Let your friends know what we're talking about. Let everybody, you know, what we're talking about. Don't let us be the only ones trying to get the word out on this. You know, let's spread the love and let's get it out there. So for Comic Monsters, this is Decapitated Dan.
And I'm Rob, the Big Bad Wolf.
And I'm David.
We'll talk to you all next time.
Thank you for listening.
See ya.